All right, we are live. 49ers game day on draft day. Wow, what a time to be alive. I'm here in the KMBR studios. I'm going to do a show at 9 p.m. or so I'm told. This draft is cooking. Dolphins just made a pick at 21. That's Chop Robinson out of Penn State, someone both Jake and I really liked coming out of Penn State. Any thoughts on Chop Robinson? Because I want to just go to the top of the draft here, and we're just going to go bang, bang, bang.
Chop real quick is a guy I think the 49ers would have maybe been interested. I don't know if they needed another defensive end, but he fires off the ball, man. He's skilled. Really impressive.
In a really crappy defensive end class, in my opinion, and I think your opinion as well, he stood out as somebody who was actually like good. There's a couple of guys who you're like, okay, yeah, like Latu going earlier was interesting than Chop. I think the other Robinson, Darius Robinson from Missouri, is one of those guys, and after that it gets rough. So you know, if you're Miami, if you're the Colts and you feel like you needed a defensive end, do it in the first round. Let's start at the top and work our way back. Thanks to everyone joining us here, I presume with X, could be YouTube. Get your comments in if you want them. We are a show of the people.
Yep.
You know, for the first time. Number one, Caleb Williams, no surprise. I'll say this about Caleb Williams. I don't think it's going to work out. And the reason I don't think it's going to work out has a lot to do with the Bears. And the reason I don't think it's going to work out has a lot to do with my questions about Caleb Williams' ability to play in structure. In fact, I think he might even come out pretty hot because the Bears offense,
so you're saying some of the same concerns about as the guy they had last.
Yes, that's a great point. It's great that he can make something out of nothing, but there's a lot of people paid a lot of money to make something before the snap and during the snap, right, when they're actually running an offense. And my question with Caleb Williams is, what happened last year? And I've heard a lot of excuses about his offensive line. Oh, he didn't have a number one receiver last year. Jordan Atkinson left, and suddenly the USC offense completely crumbled. I'm not saying he's a bad player, and I'm not saying it can't work out because he does have unbelievable natural ability. But this is a league that is about timing and accuracy, and I think he's got a good head on his shoulder, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
But they're going
up against the man some talent. They got him some receivers to throw the ball to. You know?
They did. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen 1 year, Roman Dunze, who they took at 9. Like, they do have the talent. I don't know if they'll be able to protect him. And I really question, you know, first year offensive coordinator. I question if Eberflus is the right guy.
He's not. I'll answer that
one. He isn't. I can see why you take him one. It feels a bit moonshotty. And I honestly wish the best for him because he seems like a good kid.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, too. He's a guy who, you know, like, if you just look at when he's in the pocket and he makes decisions, he's got a lot of talent. Like, he's really precise. He's got great athleticism.
LSU. Yeah.
But I think he's going to get, like, buzzsaw snapped in half because he puts himself in harm's way. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, a lot of quarterbacks need to learn how to do that. No, this guy, I see him, like, leaping through the middle of the line of scrimmage, getting pummeled every single game.
Is there something to the fact that he was able to do that in the SEC? And if you can do that in the SEC, it can't be that big of a jump to the NFL? Or do you not read into that?
I think where the Commanders are at, they have to go, well, let's hope he figures out. Because what other option is there, I guess? He's the most talented quarterback that they could get at that point. So hopefully he doesn't get snapped in half like a twig, but there's no way to know, and they're going to have nightmares about RG3 at certain points in this year.
Wow. Drake May goes 3. It's not a surprise. I think May has the physical ability to be exceptional. I thought they ran a garbage offense at North Carolina last year.
Yeah.
I much prefer Drake May's tape 2 years ago to this past year where they just ran just nonsense. It wasn't even plays.
Right.
Just nonsense. So I'm interested to see what happens, but like he's got no one to throw it to. He's got no, you know, the Patriots are a black hole of offense, And I'm not sure it's a conducive environment to win, but
if I was them, I would have traded down.
Right.
I would have. I mean, that was my favorite team to do mock drafts with, because you could just rack up pick. You trade down, you could trade down again and just rack up picks and go get Bo Nix like 12th, you know, like how, you know, I'm not saying I love Bo Nix or any of these quarterbacks that much, but.
Well, and we'll get to my guy, but I can see the upside. I can see the upside with all three of these. I feel like May's upside is underplayed compared to the upside of a Williams or a Daniels. I think he's super athletic. I think that,
by the way, the tape, I think you were on the way in, but the tape they showed of Drake May, they show all this flattering tape of players, of these quarterbacks. And then Drake May is just like throwing left-handed. He's about to get hit every single play.
Yeah.
You're like, what am I watching here?
It was not a well-coached football team. And they did lose, you know, they Josh Downs, who was really good for the Colts last year, was their number one receiver. So like a lot of the same things you could say about Caleb Williams can be said about Drake May. And I guess where I separate on this is Caleb Williams has more physical ability. It's not by much, but he does have more physical ability. He has a truly superior arm. And taking it one step further than that with Drake May, like, are we saying that Lincoln Riley and Cliff Kingsbury are better coaches than the guys that they had in North Carolina? Like, I don't know, because they were pretty – USC was horribly coached on offense last year, and I know those two guys have a better reputation.
That whole team was a disaster.
Yeah, they're a tire fire. So good luck to the top three quarterbacks. And the team that I thought should have traded down was number four, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr., who went to the Cardinals. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that pick. There's nothing wrong with taking Marvin Harrison Jr. fourth. He's probably the best player in the draft.
Right.
He's going to be good. There's no question about it. But if you're Arizona, you don't just you need more than just a wide receiver. And you had a bunch of quarterback thirsty teams looking to make something happen. And I just think Arizona missed a big opportunity to really capitalize on their spot, because we've already seen all the quarterbacks were off the board by 12.
Yeah, number five, Joelle, simultaneously like the consensus best tackle, and also a guy who has a lot of McGlinchey to him. Really long, really lean, has great. I like his tape a lot. I think he's got he's going to be good, but he is like, he does have a topple over possibility in terms of when you're that long as a tackle and you don't have like a steady anchor in the middle of you. That's something I'm intrigued to see. I think. But listen, like investing in a great offensive tackle, I think is a hard pick to knock.
You got your quarterback. That means that you got to be cheap somewhere else. And I think Alt is the highest floor player at offensive tackle in a legitimately great offensive tackle draft, or at least a great offensive tackle first round draft. I want to go bang, bang, bang here, but let's answer Dumpster Fire Don's question here. do you trade up for Newton if he's around at 27, 28? My answer is no.
I
like Newton a lot. If that's the pick for the 49ers at 31, fine. So be it. No problem with that. But you don't give up extra capital to get a defensive tackle who is more about substance than flash. Like at that point, I would love to see some guy with crazy explosion and crazy substance and all that, but he wouldn't be available to you at 31. And he's off the board, Byron Murphy.
Newton also, correct me if I'm wrong, had a foot injury.
I don't recall reading that, but I cannot correct you.
I think that's part of the reason that he's slid down a little bit.
I didn't love some of his athletic testing scores in terms of first round pick, but like the tape is exceptional.
Right. But so your whole thing is like, and my thing is, as you said before, big guys, when they have foot injuries, that can be a problem. So I think that's a legitimate concern. I think his tape is, he is the best hands of any defensive tackle in the draft. Like he's a technician in terms of like being patient and then getting into guys and making moves around them and just being able to play football smart. His burst off the line is almost non-existent, which is kind of crazy to say.
I think deliberately, though.
Yeah, I think that's part of his approach. You're right.
I think he holds the gap and then he goes. So
it's an interesting approach.
Dumpster Fire Don asking if I have him rated before Darius Robinson. No, I think Darius Robinson was a possible top 20 pick. So we'll see where the 49ers sit when they get at 31. I doubt they trade up.
They're in a really interesting spot because of the QB mania, where they might get someone
The offensive mania. They did. No one selected a defensive player until 15. The previous record was 7th.
That's doubled insane.
They doubled it. It's the first time NFL history that no one had taken a defensive player in the top 10.
I mean, by the way, Eagles, of course, Howie takes first corner off the board, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
I like the Alabama kid a little bit better, but Quinyon Mitchell's a really good player.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much between them, but I don't have a strong opinion either way.
The fact of the matter is they had to have a cornerback, the Eagles. They had to.
Yep.
You're not supposed to go into the draft if you're a good team with needs. The Philadelphia Eagles had needs, and they had one need, and it was cornerback. And I can easily see how Quinyon Mitchell was the number one corner on the board.
They just make great draft picks every year.
He's a dude. They know exactly what they're doing. They know how to bat. They know how to project athleticism while also taking into account that this guy could actually play football on tape. So the Eagles, and by the way, like the Steelers, get this, they drafted well again. The one time the Steelers didn't draft well was the time that they went in and they're like, we have to get a quarterback. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. And maybe that's burned them from being the Steelers. They still made the playoffs every flipping year. They haven't had a losing record under Mike Tomlin. But they go out and they get Fautanu at 20. Yep. And it's like, duh. What a great pick. I want to go bang, bang, bang here real fast.
Yep.
Malik Nabers to the Giants at 6. Listen, I think a lot of people thought they were going to go with a quarterback. I think this is the right move. You got one more year of Daniel Jones, and you're probably going to take a quarterback next year. So at least you have Malik Nabers on the board. Maybe you can make the argument that, hey, every year is a good wide receiver draft. Why are you bothering with this guy? Because this guy could have been the number one wide receiver off the board.
Right. He's
sick. You're sitting at 6. He's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. And maybe you just paid a lot of money to Daniel Jones, and maybe actually giving him a number one receiver makes him look competent. And then you can push this thing down the line because it's not like,
yeah. And you do the thing where it's like, oh, Daniel Jones had a good year. Maybe we trade him with a lighter cap hit to a desperate team. You know, you basically do the contract. It's not a real contract year thing, but there is something to that where you pull out the bells and whistles and go, oh, Daniel Jones, maybe he's actually not so bad.
Someone might be able to talk themselves into it because now he has a true number one wide receiver for the first
time.
Maybe
the Falcons want him.
Yeah, right. JC Latham goes to the Titans at 7. Sure. He's a good player. I thought the Chargers were going to take him because he's a true right tackle as opposed to all through the left tackle. They'll figure that out. And I'm sure the Titans wanted to get one of the two of them. They got one of the two of them. This is the big one. 8. Michael Penix Jr. goes to Atlanta. This has been a
wild pick.
I would say derided pick. Is that a fair expectation?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's relatively insane. Also, because people have been acting like Michael Penix Jr. is 26 years old, which I looked and he's 23. Like, he is on the older side, but he's not as old.
Everyone in this draft is on the older side. They all got a COVID year plus.
It's still wild. Everyone in this draft is old.
I love this pick. I love it. I think it's genius. And the definition of genius is being able to find the right answer when no one else can see it. And I mean, legitimately, that's one of the best definitions of genius I've ever heard. And because everyone else can, deduce and come. You know, this is brilliant. Atlanta going with Penix at 8 is brilliant because Kirk Cousins.
By the way,
2 years
real quick, you might be the only person with this take so far.
That's fine. I'm very happy to give it. I feel very strongly about this. The argument is it's a redundancy. And my counter argument is there are no redundancies at quarterback in the NFL at all. It's the first most important position, the second most important position, and the third most important position. There is no redundancy at quarterback. And here's the thing with Atlanta. They might be too cute by half with this. They might be. But if it works, and I think it will, it's brilliant because they should never be picking at 8 again, ever. And they will never be in a position to get a player like Michael Penix Jr., who I had as the number one QB on my board again. And I'm sure they did too. And so you have Kirk Cousins for 2 years. He's coming off an Achilles injury. Yes, you paid him a lot of guaranteed money. You could afford it. You took your shot. But you know that there's a limited time frame with Kirk Cousins, whether he's perfect from day one or he sucks. And he's never the same player again because he had an Achilles tear. With Michael Penix Jr., you have a competent backup year one because, no, he's not 26, but he's 23. He's played a lot of college football. He can throw it at all three levels at a highly accurate level. I know that the short and intermediate stuff gets knocked a lot. Yeah. I think it's right there. I just don't know what people are saying or seeing when they say that he's not a good short or intermediate passer. He is a brilliant deep ball thrower. Again, he was the number one QB on my board. I would have taken him over everybody else because the baseline is so high, and I think the ceiling is higher than anybody's because I think he does have great playmaking ability outside of the pocket. I think he's an underrated scrambler, and the knock on him was his injury concern. Well, fuck it. Yeah. He's your backup quarterback. What do you care? When he did play, he was the best quarterback in college football. When he was the best quarterback in college football last year, in my opinion. Sorry, Jaden Daniels. He was the best quarterback in college football. His team was better, everything. And the year before that, he was awesome at Washington, too. He was awesome at Indiana. And you'd get injured, too, if you had Indiana's offensive line in front of you in the Big Ten. They sucked. There's a reason the entire coaching. He got his entire coaching staff extensions, and then they got fired 2 years later when he left. He was the man. He is the man. And you have to have two competent quarterbacks if you are an NFL team. And if you're the Atlanta Falcons and everything has been just falling apart, you have all this talent and it never comes together. And now you have a great head coach in Raheem Morris who's going to get that defense right. And you should have an offense with the kind of weapons that they have that can put up some serious points with Kirk Cousins, who is a very good quarterback. We can knock him all he wants. This is a guy who can throw it at all three levels. I think he's really good in the pocket. He does not have that second play ability. Who cares? He gets the first play right.
It's weird.
Every time.
He does have athleticism, but yeah, you're right. He doesn't play.
And that
like
might be
that.
Zapped. That might be zapped now. But the point is, you're never going to get another shot at a quarterback like Michael Penix Jr. And if you played it out the way that everyone thought they were going to play it out, is you get two, maybe 3 years of Kirk Cousins, and then what? Then what? You're having to trade up in the draft to get a quarterback. Yeah. You're having to do it. No, this is essentially what Green Bay did with Jordan Love, except they're not doing it with a guy like Jordan Love, who was all upside and a lot of low. You're getting a really high floor guy who also has the ability to be your starting quarterback, maybe beat out Kirk Cousins in a year. You can never have a redundancy at quarterback. I know it's a little rich at 8, but you weren't going to get him. If you traded down to 13 or 14, you weren't going to get him. Someone was going to get him before you.
Fair.
And the best quarterback on the board, take him.
Yeah. Real quick. Brian Thomas Jr. went to the Jags.
Yeah.
So much for that Ayuk talk that, by the way, come on folks. Like
that wasn't
really blowing my mind, but I was like, what is the logic in the 49ers trading Brandon Ayuk?
Well, there's no logic.
They don't get better.
No, they're refusing to trade Deebo Samuel, who is tradable. And yes, you'd be worse. The argument that for keeping Deebo Samuel is, oh, well, our team would be worse next year, which is a good argument. So why would you trade Brandon Ayuk? Because now your team's not going to just be worse this upcoming year, but worse in perpetuity.
Right.
Deebo's got 1 year left with the Niners. They won't trade him because it's all about this upcoming season. So silly. Roma Dusey goes 9. JJ McCarthy goes 10.
Yep.
I don't like JJ McCarthy as a prospect, but this will probably work. Just call it like I see it.
Got a lot of good pieces. Good offensive line.
Great head coach.
I also
think if you're replacing Kirk Cousins on the cheap with a very Kirk Cousins like quarterback. No problem.
Also, Dan asked, "What are your thoughts on center at 31?" I don't think the Niners value it that highly.
Correct. It's a good point.
But if Graham Barton for some reason is there, that's
both our number one center with a bullet.
Yeah, I Jackson Powers Johnson is like. Fine. He's whatever. I don't like him as a first round pick. I think he's a little stumpy. He's not a guy
like
that
a second round pick.
Right. Like I would rather have Tanner Bordellini over Powers Johnson. But that's because I'm a Tanner Bordellini fetishist. But,
I mean, I like Dylan McMahon who will go in the 7th round.
Yeah. NC State. Great player.
He's not very strong, but like if you're talking about what the 49ers value at center, it's intelligence and mobility. Totally. And Bordellini hits both of those like nobody else. Barton hits both of those like nobody else. Barton can also play guard, which is a big deal.
That's the thing. That's the thing to me is if you're going to draft a guy at 31, they got to be positionally flexible because I don't think they value just guard high enough. I don't think they value center just high enough on
they
its
don't.
Own.
You have to sacrifice a couple of positions in your hierarchy, and they think that the scheme can cover up for weak guards and centers.
And Barton is actually good enough where you could throw him as your swing tackle in a pinch. Like, I don't think like he's not a starting tackle, but that's where he played in college. Like, he is super
talented.
I don't think he's going to be there, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Zach Frazier guy. I know a lot of people who like him. Yeah. I don't think he moves well enough.
I think Tampa's going to take Barton at 26, but we'll
that'd be
see.
A good pick by it's, them. Lions yep. just traded up with the Cowboys, by the way. The Lions moved to 24th. They barely gave up anything. Wow. Did they? Hold on. Let me see if I have that right. I'm watching NFL Network. Okay. They gave up a third round pick. They gave up 73 and 29 for 24. So, okay. That's about right. Any other? Can I talk about Brock Bowers at 13 for a second?
Yep. Go for it.
This is the stupidest fucking move I've ever seen. The Raiders should be disbanded and rebuilt under new ownership. This is Tom Telesco should be tried at the Hague for this.
It's honestly crazy that he got a job. Like,
he got another job is batshit insane. Like, without having done like one of those BS apprenticeships where he was the number two guy or a consultant for a while. He needed to get some stink off him. He like hard because he re-signed a bunch of dudes who were washed when he signed them. And just total mismanagement of the Chargers to the point where they had to pay Jim Harbaugh $20 million to come in and fix it, which he probably will because it's Jim Harbaugh. But you took, can you look up where Michael Mayer was drafted last year? It's like 65, something like that.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
You took a tight end who I think is pretty good. Is he elite? No. But pretty good tight end. One of the better players on your team. You took him in the second round last year. And I'm saying you because you work for the Las Vegas Raiders. Okay? So I know someone else made that pick. But that's your team and that's your roster. And you don't get to just start from scratch. Like you're a new head coach in college football. And
he went 35th overall.
What?
That's you insane.
Your team took a tight end 35th overall last year. You don't have a quarterback.
They might be spending the most in the league on tight ends just on two rookies.
You don't have a running back. You don't have a second. Well, you have okay receivers, actually. But you don't have a third receiver. You don't have a future receiver. You don't have anybody else on the offensive line except for a left tackle. You have one man on your defensive line. I know you just threw a bunch of money at defensive tackle. That's what bad teams do. You have no linebackers. You have no cornerbacks, and you have no safeties. I am coming across as hyperbolic. I challenge anybody, to find me counter evidence to what I just said. The Raiders, as a overall operation, are one of the lowest talent teams in the NFL.
Right.
And I know that Brock Bowers was just sitting there at number one on your board, because let's be real, Brock Bowers was a three-time All-American. He was probably the best player in this draft. If you're just saying who's the best player, it's probably Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers plays tight end. He plays tight end. You picked a tight end 35th overall last year, and he was good. So now you have two tight ends, which you can't reasonably play in the modern NFL. Unless one of them is going to be a blocker, in which case, congratulations.
Unless they've just been watching, you know, Patriots tape from a decade ago.
Yeah, great. That will work great. It's just, it is so inept.
Dieter's tired, folks. Dieter's tired.
I got to do 3 hours of fucking radio after this. It is so inept. There was only one team that could do it. And you would think that the Raiders, like, well, Al's dead and Mark doesn't know any of this stuff. And they cleared house with, I don't even know who the president of the team is anymore. Like, there's been enough transition. They're in a new city. They got a brand new state. It's a new operation. The whole thing is it's new enough. They've sort of shed the ineptitude of Oakland in Oakland. Wrong. Brock Bowers could be awesome next year. Awesome. In fact, he probably will be awesome because he's awesome. He's a great player. Right. You just took a tight end at 13 after taking one at 35 last year who performed to the level you expected.
Right. And got better in the second half of the year.
You took a guy who was legitimately a top 10 fantasy tight end going into next year. And you're like, you know what we need more of? Tight ends.
I was very excited about stashing Michael Mayer for free. And now I'm upset.
It is.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better.
I don't like the Raiders. But how can it be this hard?
If it makes it feel any better, maybe my favorite pick of the draft came right after it, Talese Fuaga to the Saints.
They nailed it. They beautiful. Needed a tackle. They got the tackle. It's like, what more needs to be said? Great tackle.
Another reason you could argue that the 49ers might want to prioritize interior offensive lines, the Seahawks, getting Byron Murphy, who is a beast.
Like, really good player. He's just, he'll be competent. Yeah. He'll be good. He'll hold the role for 8-9 years, maybe 6-7.
Yeah, he's a beast, as I believe his neck tattoo tells you.
You know my rule. Never trust anyone with a goatee or a neck tattoo.
Austin Slater is not look good, folks.
It's not. It's in many ways. Jake and I sat out in the bleachers yesterday at the Giants game, and we watched Austin Slater booted all over the yard. It's like, aren't you a defense first outfielder?
It was hard to watch.
Okay, Dallas Turner goes 17. That's a great play for unbelievable value for Minnesota.
For sure.
Who, again, I'm not a McCarthy guy, but they are, right. And I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt. And I think
also Latu, if he's healthy, it's the same thing to me as I was mentioning with the not quite the same level as the guy Miami has, who also went to UCLA. Forget his name. I think he tore his ACL, but incredible player with a really rough injury history and just a sick defensive end. Similar situation if he's healthy, really good player.
Like, Latu's good. He just didn't move me. Like, I don't question
that's,
it all.
That's fair. I wasn't like, oh my God, you have to go get this guy, but he's impressive.
Well, that's fine. You know what? Like, I don't need your highlight film to be exceptional. I need your overall film to be exceptional. There's Terrion Arnold to Detroit at 24. Good pick. They needed him. I can't believe that he was there at 24.
Mel Kiper wants to stop talking about Cooper DeJean, who is still on the board.
Well, Cooper DeJean, let me throw this everyone's way. I mean, Cooper DeJean at 31 would be manna from heaven for San Francisco. Fautanu 20, Jared Verse 19.
DeJean's gonna stay. He's gonna go to the Packers right now.
You think DeJean? Yeah, that makes sense. I thought Amarius Mims at 18 is kind of an inspired pick for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think that's one where if he's healthy and he can improve on what he already has, like, he's gonna
be.
Did
you see the highlight tape? Did you watch the highlight tape that they played for him? I mean, I watched that Georgia Ohio State game in its totality for him. And listen, there's a lot of stuff where it's like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Oh yeah,
no anchor, no hands. But when he moves smooth and decisively and fast. And if you are anywhere in his vicinity, you're not just getting blocked; you're getting thrown forward. Yeah.
I actually think he can anchor a little bit. He just doesn't have good technique or footwork, and he's just sort of going around. But when he's like set, he just suns people. He does a thing where it's like when your little cousin is playing basketball and you just put a hand on their forehead. That's like Amarius Mims. Like at his best, that's what he's doing.
If it works, he's the best tackle in this draft. If it doesn't work, there's a higher risk than a lot of guys.
Yeah,
I thought that risk was going to knock him down further. But when you're the Bengals, I think it makes a lot of sense. They can give him a little bit of time, and he's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Fautanu at 20, just perfect. Chop Robinson at 21, a little richer than I thought, but makes all the sense in the world. They needed.
What did you think of
someone to rush it?
Verse to the Rams.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, honestly, I thought that the Rams could have traded down and gotten Chop. I thought that would have been a better fit for them. Verse is just very competent. He's going to go out there. He's going to be good. They needed a defensive end. They did a really nice job last year with bringing in young guys and making them a competent defense. I mean, I remember I did a bit on the radio where I named off starters for the Rams on defense. And I had people call in to see if they were real people or not.
Russ
and
Yeast.
No one could tell the difference. It was a terrible bit because no one could tell the difference. And everyone lost, including me. And it was just brutal. But they were an average defense last year with Aaron Donald in the middle. They produced some pretty good players. I like their linebackers. I think their secondary is going to be pretty solid. And they needed someone who can get it done up front. They did. Yep. And I think Verse is just going to do it. I think he's a high floor guy.
I think that's fair. We are we are rapidly approaching the Niners scenario. And
what's the best case scenario here? Run me through the hypotheticals. Go.
Best case scenario is Graham Barton's there.
Yeah.
He's the player left that actually moves me the most. And day one, I think you're plugging him in at right guard, and he's eventually taking over your center spot. Like, because you don't really need to move him to center right away. No. I think Jake Brendel's fine. I think the problem with the 49ers offensive line is you can't have, like, you know, a legion of mid. Like, it's just and Trent Williams, who's 36, the Hall of Fame tackle, still like one of the greatest in the league, but like could, you know, one injury away from the Niners being like, oh God, Barton has
one,
so much
one injury away from, I mean, he faded last year. We got to call it like we see it. He wasn't good in the Super Bowl. And yeah, he's one injury away from not just your team is screwed, right, but he's done. He quits.
Yeah. Which, to me, I think
really screwed.
I think they're going to take Newton if he's there
at 31.
I think that's the likeliest pick, but if he's not there, I don't know. I might. I still think trading back's on the table. Barton is, to me, just the best player available, but he could go to anyone. I think he's going to go to Tampa with his next pick.
You think 25? I'm probably on delay here. You think it's going to be DeJean?
Think so.
Packers.
Midwest defensive back. You know, the Packers, they were playing Jonathan Owens at safety. Jordan Morgan. Folks, that is not a good pick. A lot of people mocked. I mean, hey, okay, let me just say.
Let's talk Jordan Morgan.
Doing the thing of being like, it's not a good pick. Jordan Morgan is a guy that is like a tackle who can't anchor at all. I think he has short arms, and so people are like, well, he's got short arms. Let's move him to guard. But he's not a guard. I don't think because he can't. Like, I don't think he has the size for that. He has good movement skills. I think that's why a lot of people mocked him to the 49ers at 31.
Right.
Because they said, oh, well, the 49ers like guys who can get out in the run game and get after it. And I think Morgan can do that.
So do the Packers.
Right. And so I think Morgan can do that. What I don't think he can do is anchor. And I don't think he is the tackle upside that's worth taking him in the first round. And there's a lot of other guards who I think are much more physical and can actually anchor and still have the speed to get out and move. He didn't do it for me. He didn't move me. I was not impressed.
He's not good at either position.
He's
not good at either position.
Yeah.
If you view him as a guard, he's nowhere near worth a first round pick because he can't handle anybody who has any strength. Can't do it.
That's a good pick for the Niners. That opens up where one interesting thing, you've got, there's some receivers on the board, man. So, like, some interesting names I'll throw out there.
Yeah.
Just at receiver.
Your best available.
At receiver, you've got Xavier Worthy. I'm not sure that's going to be their cup of tea, but he's there.
Mitchell. The Cowboys are going to take him at 29, right? I mean, you have Buffalo and Dallas.
Buffalo's taking a receiver.
Dallas might take a receiver. Baltimore might take a receiver.
But the 49ers are suddenly in a good spot. Nate Wiggins, if that's their thing, like he's super, super slim, but has a lot of speed, a lot of range. Really interesting prospect. I don't think Kool-Aid is going to be in this spot.
I don't think Kool-Aid's a first-round pick.
Right. DeJean's interesting. Ladd McConkey, I would rather Saul over McConkey, in my opinion.
How do I phrase this? They really like Ladd McConkey. And I think that they might be willing to overlook.
Oh, Packers fans are pissed, by the way.
They should be. Jordan Morgan, I did not have I thought he was a late second round pick.
I didn't even have him that high.
If you're thinking about him as a tackle, he's not going to get the job done. Okay, he's just not, because he doesn't have the technique, nor does he have, I think, the physical ability. He's got good feet, and he might be pretty good in the run game. But yeah. I just don't see him as a tackle. And then as a guard, he's just going to get bowled over again and again and again. Yeah. And so it's great that he can get out in the open field and make stuff happen. Like,
Play him a tight end.
I was just extolling the virtues of Mims and just, he gets out in the field and does it. But at least with Mims, who doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
Has no idea what he's doing. He's 6'8" and 350 pounds.
Dude. His arms are just up here. You can correct some of that stuff, but you can't correct the anchor.
Why was he so just because of the movement ability, he was ballied as a...
I think the movement ability, people like, he's mean in the run game. He gets after it. Cool. The Niners are suddenly in a pretty good spot. I'm surprised at who's available.
Let it come
here.
To them. Totally.
I would let whatever it is come to them, because somebody might make some dumb picks. There's no one to me right now where I'm like, I got to go get him. I like Barton a lot, but I think
Arizona's going to go Wiggins.
Also, listen, I don't think Tyler Guyton will be their cup of tea. But if you want like a high upside offensive tackle prospect, he is one. Yeah.
Guyton and Mims are very much of the same ilk to me. Now, right. Mims moves back.
Guyton's just thinner. Guyton's like 10 pounds thinner.
But the beauty of that is, I it's very clear that I did high school football prospects and college football for a long time, because my mental state is just, you can put 10 pounds on a guy. Like, right. I once had a college coach for LSU tell me, if you give me one summer with a player, I can give you 25 pounds of muscle, which I looked up and actually I think is physically impossible without steroids. So, you know, I don't know what the Baton Rouge HGH situation was. That guy's still coaching, by the way. But I don't want to say much about the 49ers strength and conditioning program, because I don't know a lot about it. And that's probably because it hasn't been all that effective or interesting over the last 7 years or so. But if the one knock on the guy is he needs 10 pounds, like, that's a pretty minor knock, all things considered. Like, I can't make your arms longer. I can't make you more tenacious. I can't do a lot of stuff. But if you give me a couple of months, they can get 10 pounds on a guy.
Okay. So Graham Barton's gone, as I said, would be the
26.
Case.
26. Yeah.
26. Darius Robinson to the Cardinals, 27. Bills are going to take a receiver.
Darius Robinson's gone at 27. I'm way behind you.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So you got a situation.
Arizona
here.
Came out with two of the better players in the draft. Now, it's interesting with Darius Robinson in Arizona. Like, they needed a whole new defense. And I guess it's nice to have a versatile guy in Darius Robinson. Like, this is why, like, a Chop Robinson or something. Like, if you need a whole new defense, I'd rather go for upside. In a way,
agreed.
I'd rather go for just the player who could be truly spectacular. So I just think Darius Robinson is going to be, and this is too high of a compliment, and it's not the right body size, but like, pick it up on vibes here. Like, I just think he's going to be Calais Campbell-y, where it's like, anyone who actually watches is going to be like, oh, that guy's really, really good.
Right.
But it's not somebody who's going to be up for like defensive player of the year or anything like that.
Fair.
He's just going to be a really competent weak side defensive end. Give you a 7-5-3 technique. You could play him all three downs, no question. He's going to be really good. Arizona, I guess building a baseline of competence is good, but like, how competent, if your entire thing is, you got a really competent player, like, when he's surrounded by incompetence, what happens then?
Yeah.
Because, by the way, like, Missouri's defense was one of the best in football last year. He was surrounded by competence everywhere, and that's when he showed out, because then his versatility became more and more of an asset. Because
I'm with you.
He didn't have to plug five holes on the defense at the same time.
I think that's a fair comp. I'm looking at Buffalo here. I'm wondering. I think they're going to take one of the Texas Texas receivers. But if I'm them, I think Mitchell is a better actual prospect, like, in terms of what he can do. But I would rather have Worthy. Like, do they really want to deal with like another diva who's like, you know, got a whole thing like? There's some of that to Adonai Mitchell, and Worthy is like a guy with his head on straight who's got great speed, but is a little skinny, a little rugsy.
I mean, you have a quarterback who can throw it over those mountains over there. So
yeah, so I think it's worth. I think it's going to be Worthy there.
Now, I will say this: they have Shakir, who isn't like a burner or anything, but he's already small.
He's
really good. He's really, and there's a reason they got rid of Stephon Diggs. It's not just the on field or off field stuff. It's also because they preferred Shakir to him.
Right.
And they got, you know, they got two good tight ends. They can only play one of them at a time. Maybe the Raiders will, you know, go take football back to 1947 and figure out a way to make it happen. But, it's like, sorry, I'm going on about the Raiders again.
So assuming that a wide receiver goes to Buffalo, let's say it has to be. Let's say it's Worthy. The Niners would have a shot at DeJean, Newton, Nate Wiggins, lots of other corners that don't really move
those
me.
Those are the three obvious ones.
Right.
And whichever Texas wide receiver wasn't taken. Though I imagine Dallas is going receiver too, just because they need to put a little pressure on CD. And they didn't have a good number two receiver last year. And they're kind of screwed all ways towards Sunday.
I think it's going to go receiver, Guyton, Niners take Newton. And then Adonai Mitchell falls to the Chiefs because the Chiefs don't care about personality problems or any red flags. They actually encourage it because they're
figure it out.
Disgusting organization.
Well, they keep winning. Funny how that works.
Know.
I mean,
I know.
They willingly took Kadarius Toney, who forgot his shoes for the first day of work. The New York Giants drafted Kadarius Toney with the intent of him being their number one receiver. And when he performs, he's really good. The problem is he's such a knucklehead.
Yeah.
And then that's manifested on the field and all that. But like, the dude showed up to the first day of rookie minicamp and didn't bring his cleats. And it's like, oh, that's not good.
That's impressive.
It's just next. It's not like, oh, you know, I just moved to this and that. Like, everybody was just showing up. When you pack your bag for rookie minicamp, you need like three things. One of them is your pair of cleats. And he just forgot them. And like, didn't make a thing out of it.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering why the Giants traded him away, that's why. And if you're wondering why the Chiefs basically just said, stay away, that's why. Knucklehead. And but they can deal with it because they got Andy Reid. And by the way, Travis Kelce was a knucklehead. And now who knows what he is. I would take DeJean at 31.
It's feeling like it's going to be Newton, but yeah.
I know. I mean, you've been saying that for a couple of days, and I don't disagree with you. And I don't think it's a bad pick. But if DeJean is on the board, I think DeJean fills... it's not a great defensive tackle draft, but it's still going to be good enough for them in the second and third round, I think.
Yeah. Also, by the way, Newton did have a broken bone in his foot.
Yeah, so the big men and your feet. That's the only thing that connects you to the ground. That's careful stuff. DeJean can play also, outside. He can play inside. He can play safety. He can be a great special teamer, and he's your punt and kick returner.
The Niners brought in Brandon Staley. What does Brandon Staley love to do? He loves having guys that can play safety, anywhere on the field.
Get weird, baby. He can play man-to-man. He can play zone. He can do everything. Like, Cooper DeJean is not the number one corner in the show. Wiggins is a better corner than him. You can't play Wiggins on the inside. And so if the Niners are hellbent, if they are indeed hellbent, as I've heard, about moving Lenore back outside, I don't get it either. But I guess we're going to find out how hellbent they are on it. Because I imagine Wiggins is going to be there. And that's a corner that was probably not supposed to be there for them.
Yep.
And they don't necessarily need a corner, but that is the best value, in my opinion, because I think Newton makes sense at 31. I don't think he would have made sense at 20 or 15, whereas Wiggins would have. And I think DeJean would have. And even Mitchell could have. So they are sitting pretty. There's no question about that, though. I think Mitchell's going to come off the board here in the next two picks. And,
The Chiefs have traded up.
To where?
To the Bills pick.
What is
interesting.
Buffalo doing?
Oh, it's going to be Mitchell. It's going to be Mitchell for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be really fun. I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe they want to replace. Maybe they like DeJean, you know?
They might really like DeJean. Can you imagine him in a Spags defense?
I just like, oh, no.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, I guess they did just get rid of a corner.
Yeah.
Maybe I think it's Wiggins. I think it'd be Wiggins.
Wiggins would make sense. Yeah.
This is some high-level analysis here.
I mean, Wiggins is pretty long. You know,
I didn't even spend that much time on Wiggins. I didn't think he'd be around.
Yeah. I didn't either.
He's good. High floor.
He needs to eat a little bit, but that can be solved.
There's not a lot of cornerbacks who you're like, oh yeah, he's good.
Right.
Like, there was like six where you're like, oh, yeah, he's a good player. And everyone else now, is like, I don't have enough tape here. There's no way I can possibly assess what's happening.
I know. It's so hard at corner to assess without all 22. And even when you have it, these defenses are playing in college, are playing this junk defense where you're like, I don't know what to even make of this.
How much do you consider
moving down if you're the Niners?
Well, all the quarterbacks are off the board, so I don't know who's going to be chomping at the bit. Like, the fifth-year option threat, like, stopped existing an hour into the draft, you know?
Receiver, it's helpful.
I guess we're finding that out. Okay, it was 73 to move up a couple spots? I mean, if you can get yourself into the very top of the second round and add in a third, but like, here's the other thing with the Niners, like, they don't need any more draft picks. Like,
right.
They're probably going to have to practice squad their seventh round guys anyway.
Right. Trading down would be a matter of trading down so you could bridge the gap between 31 and 63.
Yeah. Yeah. The picks would have to be even going in and coming out, which is very doable. But it's beyond my
again. I've mocked the 49ers trading down to 36 with the Commanders. We'll see. I mean, if DeJean is there, if Newton's there, I think Guyton is an interesting prospect who I think is a better bet than definitely better bet than Rosengarten.
I know that we've talked about this. Like, I enjoy Rosengarten. Don't get me wrong.
He should be a third rounder.
No, I'd take him in the second, but just because of position.
I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in the second. I'm just saying
if you take him at 31, it's just strictly too bold.
Yeah.
It's too much.
And at this point, the board has fallen in a way where I can't see that happening.
You got too much talent.
But
too much talent.
There have been rumblings of the Commanders being in love with him. And there's a way where...
With Rosengarten?
Drop down. With Rosengarten, you could get him or Suamatia.
I like Kingsley better. I like the upside.
I do too.
I think Rosengarten comes in. And here's the other thing. When you think about what they need at tackle, what they need is a future left tackle. And I question if Rosengarten is that guy. I think he could be a really good right tackle who will end up making more money than he should. You know, like... McGlinchey without the stank, just solid, rock solid, right tackle, no worries, and you're in a good position moving forward. Kind of like what the Chargers just did, right? They already had Slater, and then here we go. We're going to bring in Alt. Like, heaven forbid you put some talent bookending your offensive line when you have your franchise quarterback already in hand. The Niners believe they have their franchise quarterback already in hand. I can't disagree with them because. Shit, yeah.
Right. And that should be their guiding principle here, right? Is how do you protect that asset?
And John Lynch said
appreciate
it.
That
John Lynch
asset.
Said it on Monday. He said we're building around Brock. Okay. So how you want to build around Brock? By the way, that doesn't mean you can't take a defensive player. We're building around Brock. That's a great principle. That's a good place to be. There's 26 other teams in the NFL who think they're building around their starting quarterback of the who's their guy forever.
Also, I kind of like it for Buffalo. Like, there's going to be plenty of good wide receivers at 32.
Yeah.
Like,
at the same time,
let some of this muck sort out.
At the same time, Kansas City's probably trading, unless it's Wiggins. If Kansas City gets a wide receiver here and you're Buffalo, you just traded a player who, in the ideal world and perhaps in the real world, you're going to be facing the AFC Championship game in perpetuity. Like, I can't believe you would make
business with the devil. So
you just made a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs who just nail it every time. And it's like,
to be fair, we
gotta
have
look
not
this
had,
thing in the eye.
I'll say this. We aside from Jordan Morgan and the Penix pick, there have not been a lot like Bo Nix, whatever, but like there haven't been
Morgan's
aside
not that
from
shocking. He was
really
he was,
aside from like Morgan, there haven't been anyone that's like, whoa, you know, like there haven't been any reaches so far.
I mean, I think Mims at 18 was a bit of a surprise, but not nothing. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't like they took somebody from off the board. It's not like
it made total sense.
Jordan Morgan was somebody who was off the board. We just don't like him. Okay. Like,
right.
We just don't like him. There's a lot of people who clearly do like him. He was mocked in the first round for a lot of very, most mocks are complete bullshit, but like,
not
people
mine.
That I trust and know, they mocked him in the first round. I had to watch more Jordan Morgan tape than I wanted to because people I talked
Me
to
too.
Kept talking about him.
And I kept trying to watch. There's certain players that people keep talking up and, you know, they're graded highly by front offices for reasons we're not always privy to.
No,
and then you watch and you're just like.
There's like a weird irony to all of it too, because like part of me is like, of course we don't know as much as these guys. But also then you watch the fucking Raiders take Brock Bowers at 13 and you're like, well, most of these people are idiots.
Right.
Like how do I
Xavier
how
Worthy.
Do I they took Worthy? Yeah.
Oh. You that see, is now, a nightmare Buffalo, for Buffalo.
Now Buffalo has to unless they're gonna take Mitchell at 32, which they very well could. Like
yeah,
by the way, Mitchell's
yeah,
probably coming off the board here at 29. So
yeah,
like
but
why
no,
would
but
you make
Worthy,
that deal? The San Francisco 49ers would never trade with the Rams or the Seahawks because now you just have easy fodder for your fan base to say that could have been our guy. If Xavier Worthy goes out with Patrick fucking Mahomes and goes for 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns in year one,
dude,
they're going to run everybody out of town in Buffalo, no matter who the guy they get is.
He's the closest thing they could have gotten to Tyreek.
That's exactly right. What are they?
And
do we have to trade? I'm not in my my ideal work position. Like what did they trade to Buffalo?
Yeah, I gotta see this. I'll pull it up. But like this to me is it's wild, man. Like because this is the one thing you don't want to give Mahomes.
It's malfeasance.
You know?
This the two stupidest things that have happened. Everyone's gonna say Michael Penix. Fuck that.
Okay.
That was smart. The dumbest
so
thing that's happened in this. Go.
That's it. Oh, Buffalo. Here's the trade. You swap 32 and 28,
okay.
And you swap 95 and 133.
Oh, my God.
And you swap 221 and 248. That's, folks, I wish I had like a tag, like a DJ, like a drop, like that's dog shit value. That's it.
Dude. Wow.
And here's the thing, like Mitchell has like issues in terms of like, does he care? Like he takes plays off, super talented, maybe the most talented wide receiver, honestly, in the draft. Worthy, I mean, granted, we're not in all this, but the rumblings were he interviewed better too.
It doesn't matter if we like Worthy or not. It doesn't matter if they liked Mitchell more than Worthy. What matters is you just gave the Kansas City Chiefs this guy. They liked him. And this is your number one enemy. This is the team that, again, in your ideal world and perhaps in the real world, you play every fucking year in the AFC Championship game.
Can we get a cut to both of those front offices? Because it's one
how
of those
hard
things.
Do you think that how hard do you think Brett Veach is laughing right now?
Oh, incredibly hard. Andy Reid's shirt is off. He's people are taking body shots off Big Red right now. Like this
it's unreal because now you can run the same play every single down in perpetuity. And that play is Worthy. You run a 7 route as fast as you can. And Travis Kelce, you find where the safeties are and you run under them. That's it. That's
Dude,
the only play you have to run.
They moved up like 40 spots from like the fourth to the third.
Listen, this is a great wide receiver draft. I'm not saying that Buffalo might not come out with a really good wide receiver. And perhaps their calculus is, oh, well, they're going to get a good wide receiver anyway, so we might as well get something for the trouble. But you just
Tyler
gave
Guyton to the Cowboys.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
So Newton or DeGene?
Well, or Mitchell, or there's a lot of guys available. I would take DeGene.
Wow.
Again, I would take DeGene. I think that he's a game changer on defense, whereas I think Newton is just a baseline level of competence, which is good, and you need it. You need a three tech. Like I'm not arguing, or a one tech. I'm not arguing that he wouldn't be a good pick. And I'm not saying that this is a good defensive tackle draft, but with Rukurororo in the second round, that would be like, I prefer him to Newton.
Are they going to go? Oh, and the Ravens, like, don't really, they don't need a defensive tackle.
No, they just paid.
Right. They don't need, they've got Kyle Hamilton.
Oh, but DeJean and Hamilton and the way that they run their defense, but then, right. You know, they have a new defensive coordinator, so.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. They need a receiver. They need a receiver. I bet they wanted Worthy. Yeah. I bet that's why the Chiefs moved up, because I guess they already have Zay. So maybe Mitchell would make a lot of sense for Baltimore.
Yeah.
Mitchell would make a lot of sense.
Guyton was really intriguing to me. I think he's a guy the 49ers weren't as intrigued by. Just because
his name, never
I don't
came.
Know. Yeah.
I mean, listen, like the Niners don't leak. So I'm not going to pretend like I have their draft board anywhere, but
this is intriguing.
Scouts leak.
I am really curious to see what the Ravens did. They got their pick in pretty quick. It's probably DeJean, even though I don't necessarily know if they need that.
It's a bit of a
feels like it should be a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, I think it's Mitchell. That'd be my guess. But we'll find out in due time. Putting DeJean in that defense, I mean, he'd fit it. If they want to run the same stuff they ran this past year, they feel confident that that's the right scheme, where you put 8 or 9 on the line, right, and then everybody scampers back to what they were supposed to be doing.
Also, completely forgot the Cowboys let Tyron Smith go to the Jets.
Yeah, no, that's why it made sense. Yeah. I mean, Tyron Smith went to the Jets.
All right. I'm really intrigued with the Ravens do here. The Niners,
are golden.
I feel like the Ravens have always drafted well. I don't know. It feels like DeJean's going to be the best player on their board, and they're going to take him because he is.
You know he's going to be a gold helmet guy.
Yeah, let's not break down what that means.
I've never heard a press conference turn into snickering faster.
I know. I'm like, John.
When John Lynch started going on about the gold helmet, and everyone's like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I mean, the Ravens got that pick in quick.
Yeah, I think it's Mitchell. I think it's Mitchell. Or Kool-Aid. They could probably stand. They're pretty set.
They're too smart for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be Mitchell. I think Mitchell makes the most sense for them. Gives them a nice 1-2 with Zay.
Also, that's an organization.
And if there's any question about his motor or anything like that, Baltimore
Mitchell, yeah.
Like, Lamar's a leader of men. Say what you will, but like Lamar keeps everybody in check. Like, he's viewed as a god. Like, it's.
Yep. I know. Well, either way, I think it's a situation where the Niners probably don't trade down here.
I think that's right. I think the value is too high.
And Wiggins is still there. Like, if they, I don't think they're going to take him, but.
Well, you know, what the Bay Area really needs is another Wiggins. we loved our first one so much. Well, maybe he could do the same thing as Andrew and, like, win a title and then quit.
All right, let's announce this pick, folks. Come on.
All right, Baltimore. Baltimore's in at 30. Niners are sitting at 31. Buffalo has just decided to punt. They're punted on third down.
They have all climbed into the pit. They've sacrificed themselves to the pit. By the way, for those of you who don't know, the place where they're building a new stadium is just this giant pit where people have in Buffalo have gotten, like, severely injured, and they're like, please stop going in the pit. And it was made illegal, and they just would hop the fence and sacrifice themselves into the pit, because this Buffalo is a beautiful people. I mean,
they're beautiful idiots who have nothing else to do but drink. And amongst
Nate Wiggins, holy shit!
You know, it's not that bad, because one, I didn't actually like their corners last year. I thought they were pretty overrated. I thought Hamilton was really covering up a lot for them, and the scheme was covering up a lot for them. I thought they could have done better with Mitchell, but it's a great wide receiver class. And
her tits are about to fall out. They just cut to one of Wiggins' family members, and the broadcast
ESPN or NFL cut, Network.
Yeah, ESPN cut at just the right time.
I'm on NFL. I'm a Jeremiah head. I while we're on the subject, as it's vitally important, fuck it, we'll talk about that later. I take DeJean. You think they're taking Newton? Who would you take? I give Jake Hutchinson the floor. You get to make the pick. Who's the pick?
I think I would take DeJean because he gives you so much flexibility, and Brandon Staley is like the perfect guy to get a player like that in their scheme. I think they're one of the few teams in these last few minutes that have not immediately gotten the pick in. And I wonder if they're like, we want to move down.
The NFL Network saying that we're going fast. Let's slow this thing down. We were supposed
right.
To get it to
that's
nine.
True. That's a good point. I bet
it's, you know, it's hard midnight on a school night, but you know, whatever.
It's hard for me to see them not taking DeJean or Newton. Newton just feels the likeliest. Yeah. If you're asking me who I would take right here, I would take DeJean. I think he's like, you know, like a top 15 talent who would fit really well with a guy who's your not defensive coordinator, who's really running the defense, who'd know how to use him.
I mean,
you can also use him on punt returns, a position you're currently like leaning on Trent Taylor. So,
well, they love leaning on Trent Taylor. It's one of their favorite things to do. But, I mean, listen, Quinion Mitchell was not supposed to get to the Eagles at 22. It was just because the draft got so apeshit up top that it happened. I mean, Brian Thomas wasn't supposed to get to 23.
Right. So, I'm with Dumpster Fire Dan. I don't want like a foot issue defensive tackle. I really like Newton, but I also like a bunch of other defensive tackles in this draft too.
If they take Newton, it's a C. Like that's the grade. It's a C. Where it's like, we'll see. Like it's could do worse, you could have done better. It's probably good value. But like it's not inspiring and there's some risk in there. So it could never be an A. It's a defensive tackle who isn't, you know, elite. And or just it doesn't jump off the screen. He's just competent, high floor. Maybe not that high of a ceiling, but very high.
It'd be funny if they don't get the pick in.
Go full Tice Vikings.
Like Lynch is like, we need to take DeJean. Like he's like, he's me. He's me.
No, that would be that'd be Cole Bishop
from
Utah, which I imagine they will be taking him.
Yeah, I wonder if the Niners are just shocked at the position. I mean, it's not
we
shocking.
We didn't scout any of these guys.
I mean, the board hasn't fallen in that crazy of a way. You know, it's not that shocking.
No, all these guys were reasonable, but they were outside of the they were plausible but not probable. Let's put it that way.
I think you know what pick I would pat them on the not pat them on the back, I'd slap them on the ass for.
Give them a little
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, I love Ricky Pearsall.
I don't think that's a smart pick at this juncture with those two guys there, but Ricky Pearsall is a damn good football player. Also got Xavier Leggett. I'm just saying.
They just took Pearsall.
Really?
I just got a text. They just took him. I love it.
There's no fucking way.
I love it. I fucking love it.
Dude, he was in my last mock draft at 55. I had him trade up for him.
It's a 10 out of 10 for me.
Did they really?
Well, unless the best source that I have is wrong.
Holy shit. Right? Wow. They just took
him. I mean, I don't know. But the best source that I have just texted me, Pearsall, holy shit.
Yes. Dude. We got to pat ourselves on the back.
My best source. But he's also,
No.
I trust him implicitly. Confirmed. Let's put it that
way. It's confirmed. It's Ricky Pearsall.
I love it. Dude, fucking love it.
That's the thing.
I was about to say it's too rich, and then I was going to correct myself. This the beautiful mind. I was going to say it was too rich, and then I corrected myself and said no pick is too rich for Ricky Pearsall. Dude. Because in the last 3 weeks, I've watched so much Ricky Pearsall. Because I couldn't escape the feeling that he was the guy. Not for
he's
the 49ers,
so
just
good.
In general.
And what did I say? Like, I had him over McConkey. Like, and that was the other guy, not just because they're two white receivers, but like semi-similar skill sets. I mean, we got to clip that. The fact that, like, you were like, who would you take? I'm like, you know what? I'd take Ricky Pearsall 2 seconds later.
I'm with you.
That's a fucking awesome pick. And it sets you up for ditching Debo in a year where now you just have a ton of weapons. Like, you already do. That's insane.
It's a great pick. It's just perfect. It shows that the Niners are on their own board.
Respect.
Okay, here's what I said 3 days ago. Wide receiver, best pick that you could have had early, Ricky Pearsall. He's the prospect I couldn't stop thinking about during the draft process. Nothing about Slick Rick stands out. He's average in nearly every measurement, but here's the thing. He caught everything. He's a student of the craft. He's committed to all facets of the game. He has a temperament that you need to be successful, but you cannot teach it. Plus, his gloves are clearly covered in super glue. He was primarily a slot guy at UF. I think the Niners' tight splits can make him Brock Purdy's favorite target in short order. Wherever he goes, I'm convinced he'll be an impact player. If you go back and watch, I was on with Larry Kruger a couple weeks back. He said, who is going to be the best player out of this draft? That was the phrasing. And I thought it was kind of a ridiculous question. Who's going to be the best player out of this draft is who he asked. And I didn't go with the quarterbacks. I didn't go with any. I said, Ricky Pearsall is going to be the best player in this draft. I think he's Cooper Kupp. You can go back to any of our podcasts. I kept saying Cooper Kupp, Cooper Kupp, Cooper Kupp. This is a brilliant pick. It sets them up short term. It sets them up long term. He was my favorite receiver in the draft. That was a reasonable possibility for them. People are going to bash it because they looked at, you know, fan-sided mock drafts, and it said that he should have been in the second round. Forget that. Everyone's about to see the catch he had against Charlotte.
Dude, he's such a good player. And
I love it.
And let me state this. He's got like the stupid wide receiver tats, like as in
I'm willing to die for this.
Yes. Yes. I mean, he's got like slightly short arms, but his catch radius because of his athleticism, he's such a polished route runner. Dude, he's a menace. He doesn't care about his life. He doesn't care about his well-being. He's polished.
He was my favorite player.
I'm going to give this an A+.
A+. Could not possibly disagree. You're building around Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
You're not going to have Debo Samuel in a year. You're not. You're going to sign Brandon Ayuk for big money. You have to have two great wide receivers. Ricky Pearsall is going to catch 110 passes at some point in the next 3 years.
Yeah. Dumpster Fire Dan, who's disappointed, I can't tell you enough how good of a player Ricky Pearsall is. Like, we could not shut up about him over the last 2 months that we were talking about.
On every show for 2 fucking months. And it was brought... I remember when we did our wide receiver.
He's also going to block.
Yes. He will not have that high of a learning curve. I don't think he'll ever be in a doghouse.
Also, the Bills drafted traded back again.
Well, yeah. I mean, Ricky Pearsall was off the board.
I'm pretty surprised they had the balls to do that. I commend them a ton for not just saying, okay, well, Newton is like a really good defensive tackle. I don't trust a big guy with foot issues. He's really good, but he doesn't have like the go murder immediately that the 49ers love.
I'm not entirely convinced that Newton won't be there in 20 picks.
I think it's possible. It depends how bad the foot is.
I don't have any inside read on the foot, but I love Pearsall. Yeah. So let me put it to you this way. I hate the Florida Gators. I hate them. I don't know when this happened because I went to Mizzou when they were in the Big 12. I have a deep hatred for the Florida Gators. I love Ricky Pearsall. He was my favorite player in this draft process. We could not have talked about him anymore. We brought him up during our wide receiver evaluation. We kind of tossed him in at the end.
Yep.
And as we talked about him for the first time, you and I, because we talk about everybody else mostly off the air. Right. As we talked about him more for the first time, I kept hearing myself and being like, it sounds like you love this guy.
Right.
It sounds like this is your favorite dude. Like, why is your emotional state well, as you discuss, so different than the words that are coming out of your mouth? And the answer is he played for the fucking Gators.
Yeah.
And both you and I, over the last, I would say specifically 3 weeks, both explored him in our own ways for our own reasons.
Yeah.
Pause. And
okay.
Every time I put him on, it was just such a joy. Every time I put him on, I was just like, why would you want anybody else?
Yeah. Here's
especially
the thing.
In this scheme.
So this also sets up a situation where if you wanted to, if say you were like, all right, I actually don't need Debo. I'm willing to save $7 million, eat the big cap hit, and trade him for a late. This isn't what they're gonna do. I don't think they're set. But I'm saying you actually could go trade Debo, go get up, get a Kingsley or Rosengarten or something else, make whatever moves you want to make. But yeah. I think the elite corners are off. I think there's a decent crop later on. There's a lot of different options. I don't actually think you need an outside corner if you keep Lenore there. There's also some decent slot corners that are going to be available, like
yeah,
late
I think
round
that's,
two or
that's
into round
thing
three.
I've come around on. Like, I do think there's enough viable slot options. You bring
for
in
sure.
two of them and you just let them fight.
Andrew Phillips, DJ James, there's a lot of good players. Mike Samra still.
I like the kid out of Penn State.
For King?
No.
King? No, he's
no,
not
the one who played. The one who actually played slot. He's like 5'9", right. 185. He reminds me a lot of Kaywan Williams.
Yeah. But yeah. Last thing before we get out of here.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. I'll just say this to anyone that's questioning it because you've already
it's
got a ton
question.
Of weapons. Yeah,
we
of course you have
question.
A ton of weapons. But I
not
think, regardless of what you think of Sua Matia, I think it would have been a reach at 31 for sure. Rosengarten would have been a massive reach. Newton would have been fine. I think their defensive tackle group is okay. It's fine as is. You're paying Javon Hargrave a lot of money. Malik Collins still has a little bit left in the tank. You've got some
options
there.
You don't have to attack it for a year. And maybe you wanted to bring someone in that, but like they're not whoever you drafted at 31 at really any of the three positions, wide receiver, cornerback, or defensive tackle. They weren't going to be every down players for you.
Right.
They weren't. I mean, corner probably had the highest upside of it, but they would still have to win it in camp. Defensive tackle, and you're just getting reps. Like you're a backup.
And here's the thing. 49ers are probably going to move on from Debo next year. Juwan Jennings is going to be a free agent. This sets you up where you lose both of those guys. You have Ricky Pearsall and Brandon Ayuk. Great.
Ricky Pearsall is a Z receiver in Kyle Shanahan's tight split offense.
It's going to be
so goddamn good. It's so good.
I am.
We talked a lot about Xavier Leggett, Corley out of Western Kentucky. Listen, Pearsall should have been the 40th guy off the board overall. Okay. That's probably where he should have gone. Wow. Xavier Leggett just went 32.
Yep.
Well, then you had to take Pearsall. You have to take Pearsall. You are not going to get a receiver who could be an impact player today and down the line at 63. You weren't going to be able to do it. So
there are some other guys, but like they didn't move the needle. Pearsall.
Well, there's a big drop off between. Yeah. There's a big drop off. I would even argue to Leggett between Pearsall and Leggett.
Agree.
But like,
and I like Leggett.
Yes, there was a but like and you know, I think you can get good receivers on day three, but now you can't trust them because they're a day three guy. Clearly, if they were trustworthy, they'd be a day one guy. Day two was kind of murky, save for Pearsall. Where it's like, yeah, okay, Leggett would have been the best option there. And Leggett probably was going to go off the board early. Wow.
I found
someone
myself
just made the A.J. Brown-Leggett comparison I made a month and a half ago.
Incredible.
We're so good at this, incredible. Jake. We're so good at this.
Here's the thing. When I was doing a million mock drafts, I kept coming back to it time and time and time again. I would watch and I would like try and trade up for Pearsall in the second round every time. And it was always this weird calculus of I can't really get him. And it's like, just take him at 31.
Just take him at 31.
Because like on the board,
the same argument with Sua Matia, but Pearsall's a better player than Sua Matia.
He is.
Pearsall, if you're going to go and you're going to reach for somebody, go for somebody that you will just kick. Here's the argument. The same argument that I made against the Buffalo Bills and for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not so much that you traded down. It's that you just gave the Chiefs this guy, and you're probably going to be kicking yourselves for years when he kicks your ass that you didn't take him or that you gave him the opportunity. If you let Ricky Pearsall stay in the draft when you had a chance to get him, and it would have been even on the outside realm of reasonability to take him,
for sure.
He goes to the Rams or he goes to any team that you'll ever play, and he's sitting there because of the way that you and I felt about him, the way I know some people in the org on the periphery felt about him, the way that people who I trust to know football felt about Ricky Pearsall, and the way that apparently the fan sided of them all didn't. If you have that kind of feeling towards a guy and you don't take him there, you now have to live with it's the one who got away. Those are the things that kill you. They kill your football soul. You can't let
I'm with you.
He would have been the one who got away.
100%.
And, you just can't let that happen.
Let me just close this. Yeah, I'm with you. And let me just close this out before I got to write this thing up. They didn't get a tackle. They got Rosengarten, Sue Mattia. I think they're going to have to move up to get Sue Mattia. Probably won't be available. I think they both go. I think what they're going to do at tackle is get Caden Wallace, right tackle out of Penn State, the end of round three. Yeah. I think that's going to be the move. And they're going to be, and he's actually pretty good. This is a great move. I'm stunned they had the balls to do it. And
love it.
Wow.
Love it.
Leave it with that. Thank you. Thank you, Sickos, for joining us. And
thanks, Sickos. This was fun. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
This was really fun.
All right. Wow.